Hello and welcome to Fox River, a Prison Break podcast presented by The Ravens. I'm Simon and I love Prison Break.
And I'm Dom and I've seen 6 episodes of Prison Break.
And tonight's episode for debate is Season 1, Episode 6, Riot, Drills and the Devil, Part 1. So hello and welcome to Fox River, a Prison Break podcast presented by The Ravens, where it is always 10:30 at night, so it's time to grab the snacks from the sweet cupboard, move on upstairs and settle in, as tonight's episode for debate is Season 1, Episode 6, Riot, Drills and the Devil, Part 1. Dom, we're here. We're back in the yard. How are you, my friend?
Good, very good. Glad to be getting my hour of, you know, exercise time. I'm going to walk around that yard. I'm going to avoid certain corners.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you run all the corners, but I'm going to, you know, there's just certain people that I don't want to be kind of associated with, so I'm going to stay clear. But other than that, I'm all good. Yeah, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I got into a little bit of trouble with a CO. He was reading my site records. You know, we'll see what happens to him. But yeah, I'm so excited to talk about this episode. Oh my God. Is this maybe one of the best episodes of television of all time? I don't know. I think so. What do you think?
I definitely think so. So this is, I'm going to be bold and we're going to say it out right at the top of the podcast, because I think we do that with Prison Break. I think, you know, we're doing our time and we're being honest with each other and ourselves. Not only do I think that this is the best episode of Prison Break so far, I do think this is probably the best episode of TV so far.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, there's so much that gets set up and paid off within the same episode. Things that have been being set up in these previous 5 episodes that are getting paid off. The way that it's shot is so good. It's shot like a film. I don't like if this was a film. I mean, you haven't seen part 2 yet, but part 1 and part 2, just make it a film. Like, it'd be one of the best prison films of all time. It's so good. There's so many quotable lines in here. Pretty much everything Teabag says is gold.
I actually wrote 2 quotes down for our favourite line of the episode. And what we're going to do when we get to the end is you're going to go first for the favourite line. Because as we know, in our tradition, I spoil everything for you by going first. So I'm going to let you go first. And out of the 2 that I've got, I think you're definitely going to say one of them, and then I'll say the other one. I'll say the one that you haven't got.
Okay. There's so many. Like, I mean, Abruzzi has some great lines. Like, Michael has great lines. Even like the little bit that he says with Sucre, you know, where it's like, it's just math, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, but what if you got it wrong? It's like, well, you'll be drilling into one of a half a dozen gas pipes and, you know, will be incinerated. And then Sucre's like, but you're good at math, right?
So one thing I would like to start off with at the top of the podcast, if that's okay.
Please.
Is Michael a little bit condescending and a bit holier than thou?
To Sucre, or in general?
It's just to anyone. I'm starting to feel like he doesn't really kind of... I don't know. He's quite smug, isn't he? With kind of everything he does. There's just this layer of smugness. And I mean, when you're that beautiful and you're that smart, it's going to happen, right? You're going to feel that way. But
yes.
I just feel like Michael has really got this layer of smugness about him that, like, I feel like there's just some barriers there that we need to break down a little bit. I want a little bit of emotion. I want to see some tears, you know, but we're not getting that. We get this kind of stony faced. He's kind of got that a cheeky grin all the time. Like, I know more than you. It's like, I'm the smartest guy in the room. And it's a big room, like, all the time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's an auditorium, and I'm the smartest guy. Well, that's true. I think that's a good point. But I think just watch this space, I would say. Okay. Because I don't, the show is self-aware, I would say. And
right.
I'll just say watch this space. I don't want to spoil anything.
And one other thing I'd like to say. So, you know, we know that I've seen most of Prison, like most of the first season, or at least like bits of the first season. This is the only episode, once watching it, that I started to remember things.
Oh.
Like happening. This is the only one. I can't remember what happens next, though. I'm just thinking, what the fuck happens to Bob? That's all I've been thinking since I watched it.
From The Walking Dead.
And Band of Brothers.
Of course. Bob.
Like, Bob's a fighter, though. Bob was like, yes, I'm going to, like, kick Teabag and get away from him. But I actually genuinely, I'm so 50-50 about what happens to Bob at the end of the next episode. I'm just not sure. And my mind's playing tricks on me. Like, my mind is really playing tricks. I'm, like, putting different films and episodes and things into my head thinking, does this happen or does this happen? And I can't figure it out. I'm so excited to watch the next one. But we'll talk about that, obviously, when we get there. But,
yeah. So what were the bits that you could remember, or what was triggering memories?
It was the Teabag talking to Bellick through that grate, and then the lines.
It's the best.
Just that bit, yeah. And like, but the lineup as well. It was the lineup before that, and him stepping out of line when they're getting hot and stuff, and it's all like unbearable in there. So kind of all of that lot, and then the build up to the right, and then the Lincoln stuff, the fight with Lincoln, and then Bob getting taken away. So all of that bit, I have memories of, or like when I was watching it, I was thinking, okay, I definitely remember this. But the stuff around it, I didn't really remember too much. And I definitely don't know what's coming next. So I'm really excited to watch the next episode.
Oh, man, there's so much to talk about. Like, I'm just getting excited and wanting to talk about little bits. But I will save it. But let's do this in some form of order. Do you want to tell us a bit of a, like, if you can, you give us the beginning part so we can get to the riot starting and stop there? Like, I want to know some of the build up, why the AC has to be shut off, those parts.
Okay. So I'm going to need a little bit of help with this, because I know that, so Michael's like preparing his tool, right? He's like sharpening it or getting it ready to kind of do what he needs to do. He's like hitting it off the bed, making a bit of a rattle noise off of there, and he's doing something, he's doing what he needs to do, and then he goes into their little like tunnel bit. They've got their like laundry hanging up, so obviously they can't be seen by everyone else, and he goes into the tunnel bit, and he goes to an area, and he marks the floor, where he kind of like finds the point on the floor, because obviously he knows like all the steps and all the points where he needs to be. And then he goes and he uses kind of his tattoo as like a measurer. And it's like this exact point on the tattoo is this height on this thing. And this is kind of where we need to like drill or dig or be. But when he picks up this like yellow stand thing and then puts it in the middle, is it literally just a case of that's the marker? That's where I need to project the image from. That was it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So we have that. He's gone in there, but he's kind of decided that they're doing a check, like a body check, right? So make sure everybody's in their bed and everybody's in their cell. Do they call it a bed check?
Yeah, cell. Yeah, bed check. Yeah, I think it was bed check.
Bed check. Every cell is non-smoking. basically a guard comes up to like Sucre, like kind of bangs, is like, they're coming, right? Is at that mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. They're coming, gets back into bed, but kind of puts his pillows, you know, to make it look like Michael's there in case they just kind of walk past and don't kind of check on him. But the guard coming past is the guard, I think it's the same guard that like left him in the room, right?
In
Pope's room. So he wants to, you know, let me see a bit of skin, Schofield, you know, make sure he's in there. And there's that really, really tense moment. It's like, oh shit, is he actually back? Sucre's like just not looking. He's just not going to look. He's just going to lie there and stay quiet. But I think obviously by that point, Sucre's going to know, because he would have felt like the wobbling of, like obviously the noise of the sink thing moving and then him getting back into the bed, into the bunk. So he would have known he was there, but obviously we don't know he's there. So it's that tense situation. And he's like, just trying to sleep, boss, or whatever. and he is there. And this is the point where Michael says, like, I can't dig. It's not going to happen. We're not going to do it in time. And Sucre is like, well, the one thing we've got in prison is time. He's like, actually, I haven't. You know, I'm on a schedule. And we know he's on a schedule. It's very important because it's not long before Lincoln is due to be executed. So, yeah, he's got a lot of digging to do, a lot of stuff to do, and not a lot of time. And this is where Sucre is like, well, there is one thing you could do. He's like, but no, we don't want to do that. It's a crazy idea. And I think Michael's just kind of up for any crazy idea now to make it happen, so there's not continuous like bed checks and stuff. And the best option is a lockdown. Let's get a lockdown going, which is basically a fucking riot.
Well, I don't think they didn't want what happened to happen. They wanted what happened, like the inmates, to get riled up and to create an issue and a fuss so that they'll lock the cells down. But they weren't expecting, you know, people to be out of the cells. He riled them up too much by turning, the AC off.
Yeah, which was just crazy. It's like he climbs up that kind of, I'm not even sure what it is, but he's like in the inner workings of like the back end of the prison, and manages to mess up some fuses and stuff, and it all shorts out, stops the AC working, and then they all just start boiling, basically. They're all boiling. And can't handle the heat, and pressure starts to build, doesn't it? You know, they start to get stressed. And Teabag certainly makes himself known in this episode.
Well, so I was about to say, so before that, Teabag is released from, what was he, in the shoe or something?
Like infirmary?
Infirmary, because he got battered by Abruzzi, didn't he? Abruzzi's boys, he got beat up. So yes, that's why he's got like bruises and whatever. And so when he comes back, his friends are like, oh, we got you a present, which is this like horrible moment of where they've got, you know, like a new inmate that's kind of young and baby faced and fragile, I guess, for lack of a better term. And like the performance is so good, but it's so horrible with when Teabag's like, I guess you've heard stories about me, you know, they're not all true. And then he sort of opens his pocket, or gives the inside of his pocket out, and it's like, let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you feel about this?
I mean, it's horrendous, isn't it? It's pretty awful, but it's like just performs so well. He's so creepy. It's so creepy. And like, I've seen him in other things since and before, and all I think of is this. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's even in an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. And
oh, really?
Teabag in the TNG. It's just terrifying. and he's actually a really nice character in that, I think, as well. Yeah, he's just awful. It's like when he first arrives and they're like, we've got a present for you, boss, that kind of thing. And they're trying to like impress him, and he's like, it's just my size or whatever. So he says something like along those lines, isn't it? It's just like, oh my God, it's disgusting. But yeah, it's just like crazy. And this guy's just terrified. And even like later on when he's like serving him, he's like holding
bowl. I don't know what it is. It's a human bowl. Yeah, I couldn't work out what that was. Were they some sort of like, nuts, yeah, like hard shelled nuts that you would, who knows? Yeah. But he says something like, I think his name's Cherry, the guy, and he says something like, oh, it's so hot in here. And Teabag says, I can't remember what he says, don't talk, you'll know when I want you to open your mouth. It's like, oh God. Like, oh God. It's
poor kid.
Like, it's the, you know, like rape basically, isn't it? Like part of it. This is nothing, this is not being like homophobic in any way at all. This is just the fact that he's being held against his will, and made to do things that he doesn't want to do. So yes. Then Teabag saying to, I think his name's Gary, the guard that is holding the cup of water, and instantly I was like, I know Dom already knows that he's going to throw that water at him. And I, but I also thought you'd be happy because someone's got a cup that actually has something in it.
It has liquid in it, yeah. I wonder how many times they had to do it. Like, how many times they had to throw water at him.
I love the bit where there's so many great lines in here, but I love when Teabag's like, we need some wind blowing in here. But his antagonizing and riling everybody else up and being like a ringleader, and then he gets dashed with the water. And considering he's such like, is also a horrible racist as well, like the black inmates are also behind him as well. Like everyone's kind of on his side, even though he's a horrendous person. I guess this is like the one place where the more horrendous you are in some way, the more, I guess, not respected, but more feared you are.
I guess it becomes one of those things, isn't it? Is that when we're not against, like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So I've got like enemies that are across the way in the cell block, but actually we have a unanimous enemy, which is the prison guards.
Yeah.
So you know that's if one of us is going for him, we're all going for him. And that it's kind of like, almost like honor amongst thieves, isn't it? This is what we're going to do, and this is how we operate in here. And it's just terrifying. It's just so scary. Like imagine calling a lineup, but you're the only guard on the floor.
Right.
What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Just like nuts. I mean, I'm sure they've done it hundreds of times before. And that other guy that, you know, it's just like reading a magazine or something, reading a paper or whatever. He just doesn't really seem to be paying any attention. Then suddenly realizes it's getting a bit tense. It's like, you know, get out of there sort of thing. But yeah, it's just, imagine getting like hundreds of them to stand behind a red line and expect them to stay behind it. You know, it's nuts.
Well, and so they start backing up and order a lockdown. So Michael's like, sweet, lockdown, let's go, hang a sheet. I need you to come with me. And Sucre's not down for that. And Michael's saying, well, do you want to protect your prison rep, or do you want to go see, you know, Mari Cruz? Do you want to get out of here? So off they go. But they
that's the smugness bit. It's that bit. It's the manipulation. He's really good at manipulating people. And I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Is it because I manipulated you into doing this podcast?
into every podcast we've ever done, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't want a podcast about Smart House, but you have. You then.
It was the best one. Floor absorbers.
Floor absorbers. But yes, and unbeknown to them, like, they think they say 20 or so, but it looked like more than that, inmates are out of their cells while the lockdowns happen, and so they sort of charge the gate. And this is where we get the great back and forth between Teabag and Bellic, which is such a great line where he says, I can't do the voice, so I won't. But, you know, he says, you know, Bellic, I got one for you. What do you call a piece of white trash that couldn't pass the cops exam and now makes less than the mailman? A CO. It's so good. It's just so good. You make less than the postman.
Yeah. What's really good, like halfway through the sentence as well, he's like, and makes less than the mailman. It's just the way he says it. Mailman. It's so good.
And you know, he doesn't talk like that at all in real life. Like, it's so, everything about him, it's so much tongue acting. He's like, really a lot of tongue acting. Like, he gets, it's like tantalized. Like, he's just seen a plate full of his favorite meal, but actually it's not that, it's that he's about to like stab someone or something.
Yeah, it's like when he's in the cell later on, so I know we're going to get to that, he does that thing, and it's just like,
our escape, it's our concern. It's so good. But right, and then but Bellic comes back with him with things that I'm not going to repeat because they are definitely not PC at all. But I do like the line that I will say, where he says the first bit, and then he says, "That's right, Teddy. I read your psych records." It's like he changes his inflection as well, like as if, "Oh, I read your psych records," you know, and goes into basically saying that he was the product of incest, also with somebody with, you know, a learning disability, and using not very nice vernacular, but that really riles him up even further. And then they're just pulling on the, like, the caging, and T-Bag's go, "Get on the train, get on the train."
It's that "get on the train." It's just going for a proper going for it as well. It's the fact that when Bellick is saying what he's saying, it's like, hang on a minute, everything's gone quiet. Mm. And suddenly T-Bag's, it's almost like T-Bag's world is like, my history and my past is coming crumbling down in front of me, like, and this is what's kind of caused me to be the way I am, and you know, what has made me this way, and my horrendous upbringing, and, you know, being a battered child and stuff like that. It's just all these horrible things, and it's just like, oh my god, is it like, you think this could go one or two ways. This could go I'm gonna go and think about this in my cell, because you've brought me down to a level that I just kind of struggle to get out of, or I'm gonna scream, I'm gonna kill you at the top of my voice, I'm gonna rip off this gate, this basically fencing that's kind of preventing me from getting to you, and I'm gonna come for you. and it's what he achieves, and then screams, "Get on the train!"
But it's a great shot as well of like the bolts sort of jolting out. Like, it's been shot so well. Like, it's shot better than most movies are, and it's television, and it still holds up today. Like, it's so, are you watching on Disney Plus?
Yes,
it's like such crisp HD. Like, it looks like it could have been, apart from like the flip phones, it looks like it could have been filmed present, like it could be still, you know, in current times. But Bellick goes and gets a gun to load it up, and the other guards are saying, "Well, what are you gonna do? Like, get a couple rounds off, and then they're gonna kill you." So they have to shut down A Wing. Another guy that's in sick bay, I love the line where he hears through the radio, you know, we're gonna have to shut down A Wing, and he goes, "It's popping off up in G Pop." So good. But the T-Bag and the other convicts managed to get through the gate. And I love the moment where he's just bashing buttons, and you can see that it's like he doesn't know what he's doing. And it's so good, because normally in these kind of TV shows or movies or whatever, people just know what button to press magically. But I love it's just like a monkey just kind of just bashing keyboards. But he manages to get all of the other cells to open. So now there's strength in numbers. Someone dropped their keys.
Yeah. What really caught me, though, is as soon as the cells open, like, a fire was started in the middle. It's just like so hot. And the reason they're kind of rioting is because it's so hot. And they start a fire. It just makes no sense. But it's just pure lunacy. Yeah. And the guy's dropped his keys and he's like, you know, he's kind of like really blasé about it, I thought, in a little way. It's just like, you know, in the kind of rush, in the panic, I just, you know, left them there. It's like, you idiot. They just have access to everything now. And it's, they can, like, just go from wing to wing to wing.
It's like, I dropped my keys. I also dropped a deuce in my pants. Like, what do you want me to do here? But, the background performers really make this as well, because it's just absolute carnage and just, like, toilet paper and things just like falling from the sky, and it just seems like absolutely terrifying. Even if you were a convict in there as well, you'd be like, what the fuck? But T-Bag and them sort of move out, and I guess we leave that there for a second, and we can track back to the beginning of the episode to get to Lincoln and move into where their paths interject. Because the episode actually starts with Kellerman and Hale, that's his, like, partner, pressing this guy, the sort of unbeknown guy to us, at like a fun fair, and they're doing the arrogant, like, just eating ice cream and like we run the world kind of thing, and saying to this guy, hey, I got some heroin and I'm gonna put that in your car and handcuff you and drag you out of here, or you're gonna do what I want.
Yeah. Just ultimate power from these guys, isn't it? Like, Kellerman is a bad man. That I didn't remember. I didn't remember any of that. Like, what this guy was meant to be doing and kind of what his job is and what they're asking him to do. So it was all like a real big blur for me. Definitely the prison stood out more as something I could remember. But yeah, it's like their story development feels slow, but they've already done so much, you know. Yeah. There's much more to come. I'd be interested to see kind of how far they push it, really, like how far Kellerman will go to achieve what the chopping vegetables lady wants him to achieve.
Right, exactly. And Kellerman is smug, but in a different way to Michael. And Michael's is, like you said, I'm the smartest guy in the room. Kellerman's is more like, I run the world. I can do whatever I want, and I will make you do what I want. Otherwise, I'll kill you or frame you or whatever I need to do.
Just like, I can fuck you over at any point. That's how much power I hold. It's crazy.
We also have Veronica ducking calls from Nick Saverin because she thinks that he's dodgy. And he turns up at the prison and he's already with Lincoln. And she's bewildered to why, you know, he's there. And he drops a bomb of that he has another friend. He has all these friends that can do all of these, you know, look at videos, look at phone tracing, whatever, but managed to trace the phone call that tipped off the police that Lincoln had, you know, been seen coming out of the parking lot or the garage where he allegedly had killed Terrence Stedman. And that phone call, even though this happened in Chicago, was traced to Washington, D.C.
Which is just adds to this conspiracy. Who is after him? Who's pushing these buttons? Who's killing vice president's brothers? Who's the lady on the phone? It's just, yeah, it's just this web of lies and deceit is getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we get further into this. So as much as like the inside the prison stuff is important, it's like all of that stuff outside. And trying to stop this like investigation from going on and stop any truth from coming out. And, you know, it's like we need Lincoln to die. As soon as Lincoln's dead, it's kind of like that feels like it's over. But also, like, people are still going to be looking into this. So Veronica might need to go. Nick might need to go. Michael might as well go, you know. So it feels like everybody's kind of got their heads on the chopping block. It's, you know, scary stuff.
And then as they're leaving, there's the riots kicking off. And this is where Bob is escorting Lincoln. And I think they do such a great job with such little screen time that they establish that Bob is a rookie and that Lincoln has kind of almost been like training him from the side of, come on, don't apologize. You need to do this. You know, you need to do that. Like, kind of they've got a good relationship. Because it's only like 10 seconds later that they walk around the corner and there's Teabag and his fellas. And Bob is like, for lack of a better term, is fucked. Like, there's people coming from behind him, blocked off. There's people coming from the side. And there's nothing that they'd like to do more than batter a CO. And I love the moment where Lincoln's like, take the cuffs off. Like, take the cuffs off now, because like, he's the only person that's going to defend him, which also lends to the fact that Lincoln is like, oh, Lincoln's a good guy. Like, Lincoln isn't the same as these other criminals, you know. And like, it does flip between different storylines, like it's edited in between. But if we just stick with it for a second, I love this exchange as well, where Teabag's like trying to negotiate, and he's like, oh, you want him all for yourself, you know? And he's saying, like, he says, what you need to understand about negotiation is your bargaining position. And then at that point, more like convicts come from behind. He's like, yours just changed. And yeah, they're like, it's like revving up. And he's just like, no deal. I'm not like giving him over. And Teabag goes into, you know, have you ever seen any of them safari shows where there's, you know, a pack of cheetahs and they just like rip into an antelope, you know, guess which one you are. And then I thought this was like the most Dom move that I could imagine, which was where he just like grabs the first guy and just headbutts him like it's so hard. I was like, that's definitely something that Dom would do. Like, I could imagine you just being like, just sacrificing your skull to start it off. Tell me I'm wrong. That wasn't a Dom just like, just, and he gives it. He gets a lead pipe to the head eventually, yeah, but he gave it some.
I would be all in for that. I would, flying headbutts all round. Definitely. 100%.
Well, was you impressed with Lincoln's attempt?
Yeah, definitely. I think he can hold his own, can't he? He's not one to be messed with. You know, he was taking on two guys and then the third one comes along and, you know, he gets a good knee in the chest as well, on one of them, and he gets kind of stuck in a corner and, yeah, it all becomes a bit messy. But he gets, you know, he gets a few hits in and he's trying to protect Bob, and Bob kind of does okay but gets caught up in it a little bit too quickly. But yeah, and then Lincoln's unfortunately just cold, isn't it? Knocked out cold. That's it. Just TKO, lying on the floor, face down. That's it. Job done. Let's move on. Let's take Bob somewhere private.
It's like a tough little gorilla, isn't he? Like, and yeah, then... And then yes, Teabag takes Bob to where the rest of like the convicts are and is just like parading him around like while he's on his like hands and knees and just saying like, hey, everyone's gonna get a turn. And it's like, oh my god. And and it's the bits then when his Teabag saying, you know, my pipes are clean. And Bob tries to make a runner for it and then gets absolutely battered by Teabag for a while. Like, it's pretty horrible. Or it is horrible. And then he throws him into a cell and it just so happens to be Michael and Sucre's cell. And he pulls the toilet over. There's the hole. And Teabag's expression of, they're breaking out. And as he turns around, would you expecting a Brutzy to be there?
I'd forgotten this bit. I was like, how do they shut him up? How does he not end up sharing it? And just to see a Brutzy just like grab him and it's just like, shut the fuck up, basically. Like, if you say anything, I'll kill you right now.
I love that. It's just like, shh, like just shushing him, but just, it's so good because obviously they have beef, you know, from what's happened previous. So okay, so that's all happening there. Let's move over to sick bay. Tell me about sick bay.
So we have like six people in beds, like they're all kind of lying. Dr. Tancredi's going one by one asking them like, okay, you're in for this, you're in for that, okay, let me get you some, you know, penicillin, and let me get you some of this, and you just need fluids. All right, I'm not giving you any more pain medication. It's normal that your knee's throbbing. You've just had like three pins put in it or whatever she says. So she's kind of doing the rounds, and the people that are in there that need help, I think like one of them have like dehydration or something like that as well. It's like struggling because of the heat. So she's just doing her normal job. She's being a doctor. It doesn't matter kind of the background of these people. It's all about caring for them and making sure that they're, you know, on the road to getting better or feeling better. And then obviously we have the guard radio. It's really stupid that he doesn't have like an earpiece or something, but I'm guessing of the time it wasn't as common. But the radio, it comes over the radio, there's an issue, and then we get the gen pop line and it's all like popping off,
popping G pop.
And then just as the episode develops and carries on, I think the guy's name was Kwame. I believe his name was Kwame. Yeah. Grabs the guard by the throat and just like basically screws him up, just like messes him up, then handcuffs him to the big pillar that's in the room. And then when they ask that guard if everything's okay in there, he's like, does he hold like a cuff thing to him?
Yeah, he smashes a glass and holds the glass to his neck, and he's like, you know what to say.
Yeah, and he's just like, all fine here. And then, yeah, it's not all fine. It's awful. And Dr. Tancredi goes to come out at that point. Like, was it just before that? It's just before then, isn't it? And sees him unconscious, and she gets into a bit of a scuffle, but manages to lock herself in the office, which is good, like, or in her kind of more private room in the infirmary. And they're just suddenly these six sick men are all off their feet, all on their feet, sorry, pounding on the windows, trying to smash the door. You know, the one that was like had the bad knee and was like, oh, you need to put your hand like a bit higher up and to the left. He's like smashed a hole into the window and he gets his arm through. And she manages to ram a needle into his hand and inject him with something that knocks him out. Like, I thought that was a good tactic. Just do that. Yeah, just keep doing that. What a great idea. What she should have done is, like, held onto his arm. Just keep him in there. Because then he's in the way of the door.
Right. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it must be... I mean, they, like, would, I guess, maybe have overpowered her or whatever. I mean, you'd just be terrified, wouldn't you? But I thought they did a really good job of the glass. It was like cutting his arm as well.
Chopping him up, yeah.
But the Kwame guy was also like, he looked like he was like 6'5", 6'6", or something. And he had a great line when, terrifying, but you know, entertainment. It's entertainment. When he's just like, what's up, doc?
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was good that it really... And as it was going on, they're really smashing the shit out of the windows and the doors. Like, usually you can tell they're not really putting much force into it. But it really looked like, as it was going on, they were really trying. And Sarah Wayne Callis, actress playing Sarah Tancredi, said on Prison Breaking that those actors that were, like, surrounding her were all really lovely. And they would, like, as soon as they'd say cut, they'd be like, oh, are you okay? Just, you know... let us know, you know, hope you're okay. You know, they're all really nice because she's like the only woman on set as well. Like, yeah. I mean, it is like a intimidating thing, even though it's, you know, pretend that you're conjuring up real emotions, aren't you? So terrifying. We also get the other line where the guy that had the bad knee is cut the phone lines, is like, this line's experiencing technical difficulties. Which is very like Con Air type. It's like, yeah. But
it was good though. It was good.
And Michael at the end of the episode sees, doesn't he, that's happening. But we'll come back to that. So while this is all happening, down in the hole, you've got Michael and Sucre, and Michael has projected Diablo, the devil, onto the wall and is explaining that with like the egg beater that he got off of someone in the yard for $100, if you put certain you know, points within the wall structure, that will weaken it. And then we get that good back and forth that we spoke about already with Sucre, and so we've spoken about all of that. But it's really when they get back out of the hole that they see Bob's there and tea bags there, and it's like, oh fuck. And tea bags going straight into Bob's gotta go. He's seen the hole, he knows about our plan. And Abruzzi's like, what plan? This is nothing to do with you. And he's saying, well, you know, he has to go. And then he's saying, you know, I know now. So what are you going to do? You're going to stick me? You know, think how much, like, before one drop of my blood hits the floor, you know, how much I could have said about this. And I love the line when he's just like, so I'm in, or I'm going to sing like Johnny Cash.
I was half expecting Abruzzi just to pick him up and throw him over the edge, because I think that would have probably done enough damage to shut him up. But this is where I'm really conflicted. This is where my memory is like... really not picking up on what's happening next. I've kind of got two things in my head, that Bob gets up to get out and T-Bag kills him anyway. Because he just doesn't care. So he kills Bob on the in Gen Pop floor, basically on the wing. Or they buy him off somehow. Like, you leave, you don't come back, you don't say anything. There's going to be money for you at the end of it. I kind of feel like the latter is like the less likely option, maybe. I'm just not sure. I just can't remember what happens.
But you want Bob to live, right?
Of course. I don't want anything to happen to Bob. He seems okay. You know, Lincoln seems to have an affinity for him. So, yeah. And he, yeah, I want Bob to survive. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's going to make it, unfortunately. I think it's going to be like, sure, we'll let him go. We'll let him go. And Tivo's like, yeah, you go. And then when he turns his back to leave, it's like, shit. And then job done.
Well, we'll see. Well, we've got two other points as well that we haven't spoken about, which is that Lincoln is looking for Schofield, and some guy's like, Wes Moreland sort of cradles him after he's been smacked with the lead pipe, and Lincoln goes to just choke him out, and he's like, it's me, big fella, it's me. But what I thought was good was that he was playing it really well, of like, I've been hit with a pipe. Like, normally it's like, it's okay, I can get straight back up, but he was like disorientated and whatever. And then some guy's like, oh, I know where Schofield is, come with me. And we get a flash to seeing that was the guy that the other guy from the fun fair had phoned to put a hit out on Lincoln. And now Lincoln's going off into the
dark
midst of the
corridors.
Prison, right, with this guy. Michael goes back into the hole because he's going to, I don't know, try and do something with Sarah. And, you know, it's like, nothing happens to Bob. You know, nothing happens. No one touches him. And then we get that great shot of him coming like out of the roof again. There's like helicopters coming over the top, which perfectly ties into like Pope on the outside with Bellick and everyone. People are getting riot gear, shotguns. I couldn't tell if they were like actual shotguns or the ones that would have like those rounds in that would like, they would like fuck you up, but they wouldn't like pierce your skin. What are they called?
You've got like beanbag rounds or like rubber bullets.
Right.
As well, so
yeah,
that's going to hurt a lot.
But did you think it was that, or did you think they were actual shotguns?
I'm not sure. Maybe a mixture of the two. Probably, like, you would have thought rubber bullets, in case, you know, prisoners might get the weapons and we don't want them going around murdering. So you would have thought it would be like beanbag rounds or something like that, which it'd still hurt. You know, you still probably kill someone at close range, but yeah, at least if you're shooting at them from a distance. Ow. You're not the guy in the tower, though. The guy in the tower is like, I told you this would happen, but I'm okay because I'm in a big tower with a huge fucking gun.
So yeah, just tell me where you want me to point it, Pope. No problem. But
what I really loved about the Pope bit is when they're walking across the yard and how calm he is. It's like, this is 40 years of experience. I'm going to go to my little tent in the middle of the yard and we're going to organize from there. This is where we're going to orchestrate the you know, the operation and how we're going to win this prison back. And Bellick's like, I can do this. And he kind of gives him less and less responsibility. I mean, he won't even let him go make a phone call, whatever. It's just
to maintenance. He won't even let him talk to maintenance.
Turn the water off.
I love how much you love Pope's like managerial position. Like, you respect his career. I love that.
100%. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows what he's doing. He's, you know, he gets a bit of pressure from the governor. He has the phone call. We see the governor, I think, for the first time as well.
Did you recognize him?
Yeah, very familiar actor, but I can't remember where from.
The dad in Home Alone.
Oh, of course. Mr.
McAllister.
Yeah, Mr. Corrupt 101 right there. Yeah. Oh, and that was set in Illinois as well, wasn't it? It was Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, like Illinois area. Oh, okay. John Hurd. It's all coming together now.
He's not with us anymore, sadly. But he was also, I believe, in like The Sopranos and other things. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like, yeah. Big actor.
But yeah, the Pope and his ability to handle a situation is just, that's years of experience talking. Yeah. He's handling that shit like it's nothing. Like, this has happened so many times and it will happen again, but we're not going to panic. We're just going to contain and control. That's what we're going to do and get these people back in the cells, and we're not going to let them out for a while. We're going to let them stew in there.
Do you remember last time when he was like, this happens again, it'll be a week. Time after that, it'll be a month. Think on that, gentlemen. Like, you know, all of that. But I think it's shot so well as well when he's walking across and you've got people running everywhere. It's like, it's just so good. But with that being said, let's move into our judgments. Anything that we didn't hit, we'll hopefully hit there. But first, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast,
and how could you not?
Check us out, ravenshoops.net. Why, Dom? Because convicts go try and run through
hoops.
But yet, they often can get captured by
nets.
Ravenshoops.net. You'll find all of our Patreon there, additional perks, so on and so on. Dom, who was your favourite performer of this episode?
It's certainly a different question. A difficult question, because there's so many good performances in this episode. So many. But I'm going to have to go for, and please forgive me, I don't know his name, the chap that plays Teabag.
And Dom is not allowed to Google, so this is also why he's not doing that, because of spoilers. His name is Robert Nepper.
Robert Nepper, okay. I will remember that. Okay. But yes, I'm going to go with him. I thought he did a fantastic job. And he's just so creepy, but like charismatic. And it's weird. It's so weird. It's weird to like him, because you shouldn't like him, but yes. You do.
Yeah, exactly. He's like a fan favorite, but he's a terrible person. But yeah, I have to go with him as well. And he just wants some wind blowing in here. Like, so many good, great lines, great performance. Who was your favorite character of the episode?
So I was going to pick Dr. Tancredi, but I've actually gone for Teabag. I picked Teabag. I thought Dr. Tancredi had a good one, because she was like holding her own, really sticking up for herself. She doesn't really take shit as well. She was kind to Michael at the beginning as well. Like, I'll tell you what, I'll plan his like routine checkups and then your checkups one after the other. So you get to see each other just for like a short time. So she's a decent person, and she makes it clear that her father's politics are not the same as her own. But I can't sort of see past Teabag for this episode. It's like the big comeback, wasn't it? So, yeah, Teabag. What about you?
Yeah, good call. And that is, yeah, that is right about Sarah. And I forgot that part, which is great. And like when she says, "Have you got a minute?" and he's like, "Yeah, about 5 years worth," which is like, okay, sorry. Yeah, I have to say Teabag as well. I mean, just when he's on screen, it's like, is something special about it. I'm gonna sing like Johnny Cash. Like, it's just so good. What about your favorite line? Oh, background performer. Sorry, your favorite background performer.
I'm just gonna go for the first guy we see in the orange kind of riot gear suit. Usually in like programs like this, it's the convicts that are in orange jumpsuits, but not in this program. It's the riot gear was all like orange, the orange suit. So the first guy we see getting that on and getting his gear on and getting ready, I went with him. What about you?
Nice. I'm going to go with, I mean, there literally is
hundreds of them.
So many people. I'll go with whoever the voice was that said, "We're going to shut down A-Wing through the radio." That then ended up getting sick bay, you know, and got out of control. What was your favorite line of the episode?
Right, so this is where we're going to flip to you. You're going to go first on this one. I don't want to take your moment.
There's so many, but I'm going to go with, what do you call a piece of white trash that couldn't pass the cops exam and now makes less than the mailman? A CO.
So I wrote down two. And I said, Simon's going to go for at least one of these. These will be on your list as well. And you said both of them throughout the episode as well. And the first one was, I've got one for you. What do you call a piece of white trash? Blah, 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 blah. It's that one. So what I'll do, just to be different, I'll go for Kwame's line, which was, "Ooh, it's popping off up in G-pop."
Did you really write that down?
Yeah. I wrote them both down.
How did you know that I would like that one as well?
I knew that they would be your two lines. I knew they'd be your two lines. So I was like, whatever one he doesn't pick, I'll pick the other one, just so that it's been selected.
It's popping off up in G-pop. That's so good. Okay, and then favorite song? The banging hip-hop song
played right at the beginning. Yeah, it's called We Rollin' by G-Stack. Stack with a dollar sign S, not a proper S. So.
That's how I spell my name.
That's it. Big money. That's it. So yeah, that was the song. Same song for you?
Of course, it has to be. That's how I spell my name too. And then last but not least is The Precious.
Precious.
Rating, I mean, it's silly to even ask, but we'll do it anyway. Did you have a number in mind before we started this conversation?
Yep.
Did it increase, decrease, or stay the same?
Stay the same.
I mean, I had a number for this like 15 years ago. I said that last week, but still the same. We say it together after three. One, two, three. 10.
10.
Easy 10. Of course it's a 10. It's
so like
a
easy.
Perfect episode. But Dom, what's so good is the next episode, part two, is just as fucking good, if not better.
Okay. If I didn't have to start work like really early, if we didn't do watch-alongs like for our One Tree Hill episodes, I would just go and watch the next episode now, like after our next podcast.
I mean, I'll tell you about it next week, so when we have more time. But I, when we started doing this for our, when we started rewatching, or what, you know, redoing the podcast, I started watching. Bam, 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 bam. I got to episode 8. So a little bit further than this, and some really sad things happened personally, and I needed something to distract Effany, my wife, with, and I was like, why don't you watch this with me, because it's just like easy watching, it's just distraction watching. And so I started again and watched from the beginning those 8 episodes, and we're now in the midst of season 4. And I've got so much to say. One, I'm so wrong about season 4. It's so fucking good. but two, it's like, I just can't get enough. Like, it's so, this show is so good. And it's really helped. Like, in the, it sounds silly, but it's been a really good distraction for just like easy watching and something to get engrossed in. So it's taking all new meaning for me. And I actually did the maths in my head yesterday, and I'd actually only seen this 4 times previous, and not even in full, like maybe up to season 3. Blah, 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 blah. So this is like the 5th time, but I've watched so many different times now in this rewatch, like, because we've been watching them, and then I watched them recently. But I love this show so much. I'm really enjoying podcasting it with you. Yeah, and I'm really happy that you're enjoying it as well.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I'm really looking forward to getting all the way through it and getting to the end. I think we owe it to Prison Break. We owe it to Michael.
We owe it to ourselves. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening. We still haven't worked out how to end this, have we? Why don't we just end it with you doing, because you're our impression man, you're good with voices, why don't you do an impression of one of our favorite lines you choose, and that's how we'll end it.
I don't want to do it a disservice, but shall I try and do the two bag line? It's kind of like Louisiana. Is he like Louisiana sort of thing? Sort of location.
Alabama.
Alabama kind of the deep south kind of thing. Oh, I've got one thing for you. What do you call a piece of white trash that couldn't pass the cops exam and now makes less than a mailman? A CEO.
We will see y'all next week.
Later. Take care.